With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another On The Box podcast, a TV show podcast on the Anfield Index channel. This show is part two of the Black Mirror podcast. We're going to get straight to it. If you haven't listened to the first part, you need to go and listen to that. That's part one of this two-part podcast discussing season one and season two of Black Mirror, which is around seven episodes. So we pretty much covered all of them. Season three is now what we're going to talk to with my guest, who is once again Mr. Simon Dowling. How are you doing, Si?
That was fantastic to be back after that. I really liked the first one. It feels like a long week since we recorded it. A Black Mirror week.
A Black Mirror week, yeah. It's like a turn the tile.
A cookie week.
A cookie week. So yeah, we're back, and this time it's season three. And this time, as we said in the first one, this was bought. The rights for this show were bought by Netflix and everything chucked on there and available in one go. No more waiting week by week, you know. All of it binged, allowed for you to just watch it at any time you want. And £40 million. It's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just pretty much... I don't know how popular the show really was when it was first on. It felt like it was a bit more of a kind of indie kind of a hit, you know, like a cult show, and to be picked up by Netflix is massive. It's huge, and I know most people have only watched it now for the first time on Netflix. I watched it maybe 3 years ago, I think.
I've only just watched it recently. And something that I picked up on was the entire history of You, episode 3 of season 1, was actually loved so much by Robert Downey Jr. that he wanted to take the story and make it into a movie with his production company. So he's actually had someone write up the story, or try to, but I don't know whether it's going to happen now. But this was the story back in 2014, I think it was, or whenever it came out, that, you know, it's been going on. So they're basically, that's how much effect it had on people, you know?
That's very interesting.
That's why then it got into the news, and people like Netflix thought, ooh, you know, there's some big people who want to do stuff with this. So the writing, obviously, of, Charlie Brooker is very popular and very rated now. Highly rated, you know. He's kind of a legend type of thing with these stories that he comes out with. So, obviously, let's move on straight to season three. And episode one is Nosedive, directed by Joe Wright, who actually directed Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, and recently Pan in 2015. The story, again, is by the main man, Charlie Brooker. This one stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Alice Eve, James Norton, and Cherry Jones. So Bryce herself, you know, pretty big name-ish. You know, she starred in Terminator Salvation. She was Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3. She's in Jurassic World. And she was in Pete's Dragon recently, which I took my girls to watch. So, you know, quite familiar face, this one. This is one of my favorite episodes, dude.
Favorite. I like this one as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because this is pure social media.
Oh yeah.
Pure social media and pure like what social media can do to you, you know. But they just heighten it.
Oh.
So instead of like saying you can't be my mate because you ain't got 10,000 followers, you know what I mean? Like we're in a bit of a group now. There might be some idiots doing this on Twitter. I don't know, but I know this for sure. Some people do look down on others or use it as an insult. Oh yeah, you and your 25 followers can fuck off. You know, like it's just nonsense.
Jesus.
It's terrible. Shouldn't and you anyone like that? You know?
Yeah. And then there's this whole thing of Airbnb that you need to have a certain amount of like a certain rating to be able to even be on the website and eBay and all that. You know, it's basically this whole world of trying to please people.
Yeah, and in forums, you need to get a level. To get a level in forums, you've got to get loads of likes.
Three stars.
I've got to get three stars. And if you get 5 stars, you're allowed to go into different rooms on a forum. Okay, so imagine that, what we just talked about, how you're going to be at a certain point on a social media platform to get into certain things and apply it to your fucking life. That's what this episode does. It's fucking freaky. It's scary to think that shit like this could happen. She plays it to a T. Everyone is fucking fake. Okay? Bryce plays the fake person to a T, by the way. You are there on your phone, and these phones look magnificent, by the way. Really cool pieces of work. But everyone is on their phone. So if I see, Simon on the street, I'll go up to Simon and say, "Ah, Simon, your beard looks fucking awesome today." And then I'll fucking rate him. I'll point the phone at him, and his face will come on the phone, and I'll rate him 5 stars, and I'll give him a smile, and then wait, and then he'll look at me and goes, "Thanks, Gags," and then he'll rate me 5 stars. And basically, that's what this show is about. It's about the obsession of being rated by people on the street, anywhere in the world or any time, by people that even got higher ratings than you, rated by them really highly. It's all about your rating, and you get an average. So you have a 4.1, a 4.2, a 4.3, whatever. You'll have a rating, an average, and you're trying to always move it up and up and up. And that's what the story is about. This girl, Lacey, that's her name, Lacey Pound,
yeah.
She's trying to get better. She wants to move higher. She's obsessed with her ex-friend that's on social media who's got like a 4.5 or a 4.6 rating, and she's on a 4.2, and she wants to be that popular, and she just likes all of her stuff all the time, and her friend just ignores the shit out of her, yeah? And so she's always trying to get to this level where she wants to be as popular as a friend. And she just wants to better herself in life, right? That's what everyone wants to do. Just stop me if you think I'm saying anything wrong, by the way, Si.
No, that's the basic premise of it. And then the one other little thing is that it also affects, depending on how high of a rating that you have, it affects where you can live and work. So, you know, obviously, if you're less than a 2.5, you basically won't be able to work. So that's an important thing, you know. So it is important in that world, rating equals money, basically, as well as a kind of
imagine going
class.
To get a mortgage, right, for a place, and they go, "Yeah, we could give you a discount of 20%, but you need to be a 4.5. You know, that's the type of fucking crazy shit that is going on in this episode. Oh, you can't get a rental. You can't get a rental. You gotta get a shit car because you ain't a 4.5. And like shit like that is going, it's mad. It's
and
mad.
And then just imagine how fake everyone would be to be like, "Oh, hey, how are you? I love your new haircut." Like, "Oh, thanks very much. Here's a 5 feet." You know, it's just this constant like,
Fake niceness the whole time. The whole episode is about people being fake. So she gets a coffee. So when the person gives her a coffee, she says, "Oh, thank you so much. You're a mate," or gives a guy a compliment, and then he has to give her a 5 rating back. You just basically see that every kind of human interaction, people are just swiping their thumb on this phone and pointing it at people and doing this fake smile, and you're just like so irritated by it in the episode. But it's like you have to watch it because it's so interesting that what the fuck is going on here? What are they doing? And in the end, they give you an example of how someone in the office does something wrong. Can't remember the exact story, but his rating plummets, and she basically tries to help him out. Because he gets her a drink. And basically a couple of people in the office revolt against her and give her a couple of bad ratings. Anyway, in the end, something happens and her friend that she wants to be so bad ends up giving her a 5 rating. And then out of the blue ends up calling her and showing off her perfect, amazing body and life. And that she's getting married and that she wants her to be her maid of honor or one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Bridesmaids. So all while this is happening, obviously Lacey's trying to get a house, a mortgage, and the mortgage people, all the house people are saying you need to be a 4.5. She goes to some specialist to see how to get her rating up. That specialist says you need to have like hundreds of 4.7s and 8s or 9s rate you, and it'll bring yours up really quick, you know? So she sees in her friend's wedding an opportunity to get all these ratings to move up so she can have a better life, a better house, which is amazing, by the way. It's gorgeous. And her friend has her own motives, right?
Yep.
So basically what then happens is it's all about arranging and getting there. And by the way, she's living with her brother. They're selling this house. Her brother's a 3.7. She's absolutely slapping him down because he's a 3.7. You know the thing that we talked about earlier, followers? You got less followers than me, you're a bitch. She's just slapping him down. You're only a 3.7. And he goes, I'm happy in my life with a 3.7. I don't need to be fake. I don't want to live your life, you know? Your fake life. So anyway, this then, Sai, begins the nosedive.
It just starts getting cringier and cringier.
Oh, God.
She just starts to get, like...
bad luck.
So she's completely obsessed with this whole, the rating thing, beyond the point. Like, I mean, she's just, that's all that she thinks about. So she's basically has to just get to the wedding. That's all she has to do. And every possible thing that you could think of bad just starts to happen to her. And, like, isn't it, like, the first thing she misses her... it was her flight. Her flight is cancelled or something,
her
is
car,
it? Or
her
she,
car fucks up.
Oh, something. It's the car first, yeah. So she gets a rental car and it breaks down or something.
No,
and
It is a flight first, yeah. The flight gets cancelled totally.
Yeah.
So it's nothing happens, it's just that it cancels.
And she's trying to explain to them how important this wedding is. And she's like, this is me. Like, I have to be up to a 4.5 to get this house, and she just becomes a complete nightmare. And all the people who are there rate her badly then, because they're like, oh, who's this bitch? But basically, she's wrecking my head. So they're all just aiming at her, and there's a little thing pops up on the screen with a label, kind of like an ear noise, and you just see it going from 4.4 to 4.3. And the more it drops, the more annoying she becomes.
Yeah, and then she snaps at the woman at the desk.
Yeah,
she has
to
call security, and the security guard drops her a full point for 24 hours.
For 24 hours, yeah.
And says, sorry, you're going to leave the airport, and I'm dropping you a point for 24 hours, and she's freaking out. So she's now down to a 3.1 or a 3.2, right?
3.1, yeah.
And she goes to get a hire car, and it says anyone above 4.2, which she was, can get a really fancy car, hire a car, get it straight away and go. Rest of you queue up. So she queues up. She gets an old model car. It starts to run out of electricity. Charge. And then she goes to charge it. And because obviously the new models are out, the place that she stops hasn't got any charge. Like, hasn't got the same adapter. So she tries to be fake with the guy at the desk and really nice to him and says, oh, have you got an adapter? And he goes, no. And she asks him really nicely to look, and he goes, no. And she smiles at him, and she goes, ding, rates him a 5. And the cunt rates her a 2. And she's like, what the fuck? Why? He goes, well, it wasn't really a meaningful, you know, it wasn't a worthwhile chat, you know? It wasn't anything major. So why should I give you a vibe? And she's like, oh, bastards. So she's then got no way to go now in this car. So she basically does so many different things, and she basically fakes now to get onto this weird bus, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Which is like some fan place.
She hitchhikes away into some bus, which was it was some sort of like a bus for like some sort of like an anime or something or a film. This real like cult kind of fans, and they're all wearing outfits from that show, and they know all the different facts, and they're like massive big fans, and she just acts like she's a big fan as well, and they eventually start asking her about like, oh, who's your favorite character in the show, and she's trying to fake it through, and they basically find out that she's never really watched the show.
But she doesn't watch it because her friend rings her up and says, you're down to a fucking 3.2, 3.1. I don't want you. What? No, you're down to a 2.7. I don't want you on my show anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you at my wedding anymore. The whole reason why I wanted you was because you were 4.2, and, you know, I needed someone from a different, you know, level. I needed someone from a different level. I didn't want like everyone to be 4.5. And she's like, you bitch. And then basically she doesn't get a rating back from a friend because she's always waiting for a rating back or something. Her friend puts the phone down and says, don't you dare turn up. And then she's going mad and she tells the people in the bus that she'd never seen it and she's just using them. They kick her out and they fucking all rate her low. She's now down to like a 1.8 or something. I don't know. Something like that. But she ends up in the mud, walking through, finally getting to the wedding, absolutely looking disgusting in her bridesmaid's...
In her bridesmaid dress as well, yeah.
In a dress and mud everywhere. And she's going to do the speech, which is she's been obsessing about the whole show as well. And she does
her speech. Yeah.
She does it and she just goes fucking nuts. And everyone just marking her down and down and down. She's basically down to a 0.something, isn't she, in the end? And she's got a knife to her own throat as well.
Yeah.
Just to finish it, because obviously security's trying to get her. It's just disgusting. It's just such a sad state of affairs.
Cringe. So cringy, isn't it? Like, it's cringy is the best word to describe it. I was like, I actually found myself nearly like yelling at her at the screen. I'm like, what are you doing? Just stop talking, you know, that kind of way. You're just like, I couldn't even. It was so hard to watch it. It was really tough.
It just shows the obsession of social media, the obsession of being wanted to be accepted. There's many people like this that if they're not accepted, they go over the edge, you know? If you're not accepted, if you're not involved, you just need to just calm down a little bit and move away from it. And I think social media, the pressures of it and people really trying to take things seriously, just need to stop, you know? Need to stop. And in the end, she gets chucked into jail, doesn't she, or into a cell.
Yeah.
And she ends up arguing with some other guy. And basically, I think what they're trying to show is she starts swearing because she never swears because she's so fake. You know? She's so fake the whole show. And now she's actually swearing at this guy and really herself because she's got nothing to lose anymore. She's got no rating. So basically the real, you know, the freedom, I felt like even though she's in jail, she got freed. Did you get what I mean, Si?
Oh, yeah. It's like it was like she reached a point where she wasn't thinking about what people thought anymore, that she could finally be her, and she could speak the way she wanted to speak without having any negative effects. And because like in the past, all of her, every act, like every thank you and hi was all just to boost her own score. That's all it was about. And she was obsessed with that. But now that isn't a thing anymore. She's reached the bottom. So she can she's now completely free and she's now who she is, which is her, you know, and it's, so it is a pretty happy ending, I guess, isn't it? It's a definitely in a bleak way.
She's fucking in jail, so it's not happy, but it just basically says, just be yourself, you know, and find yourself. Don't try and be something for someone else or to get something else. You just have to be, you know, who you are, be real. And that way you actually have happiness as well. So she had actually a smile on her face while she's swearing. You know what I mean? So I think though, as an episode, she was brilliant. Her acting was, and even Naomi, Alice Eve was fantastic in this, you know, as the bitch friend. She was so good. But Bryce was just phenomenal, I thought. Made Fantastic. The episode one of the best performances in the entire, three seasons. But she was great, and I also thought that it was really arty. You know, the world that Joe Wright created. You know, you could tell that he did something like Pride and Prejudice, where he created. You know, it's like a kind of an arty type, because he created a world that was so beautiful as well. Like, it was that smooth, wasn't it? Everything was nice, curved, and, you know, people just standing there looking at their phones. But everything stood out. All the colours stood out. It didn't look like Earth.
It looked amazing,
It didn't look like Earth. It looked vibrant. Fantastic. Really vibrant. And I thought that's what this episode was different. It brought out. It was really produced well. It was really directed well. So they spent
a lot. And also the people who it was written by as well are... Michael Schur and Rashida Jones, who are, you know, from the American Office. So that's, I think they definitely added, it was a very, the script was quite unique, I thought. Like, I thought this episode, it didn't look like any of the first two seasons at all. The acting was like, the acting is fantastic, but this one just felt like he's taken this show in a new direction. It's a bit more Americanized, isn't it? Yeah.
It wasn't. It was the teleplay that Rashida Jones and Mike Scher did. And it definitely did feel like, right, we're taking a bit of a turn here now. From more of a British show, it's turning into more of an American type show. And that kind of continues as well going forward a little bit, but I did think this was one of the best ones, and
like I liked it a lot.
They kicked it off really well, season 3. Okay, anything else to add on news dive?
The only other little small thing is just to add on with the whole American versus kind of English thing is all of these episodes are a lot. They're about an hour or more, so. That's more of an American thing, I think, is to have more episodes and more time. So that's it's just an interesting thing that he's kind of went the complete opposite way from short seasons and shorter episodes. And I liked it though. I think it's nice to have it a little bit different than the first two seasons, but to kind of have that really dark edge there. You know,
I feel like this season they've decided to say we're going to take as long as it takes to tell the story, rather than cut you know, parts and whatever. I think he said if it's going to take an hour and a half, we're going to do an hour and a half. If the story takes 75 minutes, we're going to do 75 minutes. You know,
I feel like also the first ones they were a little bit more vague, and they talked about a lot more things in each one, whereas in the third one, I feel like they're more just about one thing, and they really delve into this one aspect, which I like, and it has its advantages as well. But you know, they spend a lot more time on one idea, which
I agree. Okay, that was episode one. Nose dive. So episode two was Playtest, directed by Dan Trachtenberg. I think he also directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, and it's written by Charlie again. This one stars Wyatt Russell. Now, this guy, you probably don't know him, but I have a feeling that Wyatt Russell is going to be a star in the future.
You'd probably know his mum and his dad, though.
Kurt Russell. No way.
Kurt Russell and... Kurt Russell, hold on, I have to look this up really quick.
But it's Kurt Russell's son?
Yeah, Goldie Hawn's son as well, and also Kate Hudson's half-brother.
That's mad.
So it's a famous actor, serious family.
Basically, he was really good, I thought. And I don't want to cover this one, unless you do, in too much depth.
Just a little bit, there's not... It's basically about it.
It's great. It's about a game. You know, it's about someone creating a game. A game's developer, should I say. and basically just putting you into the game by putting some kind of microchip into the back of your head and implanting it in there, and then you kind of live this. Apparently, what you've got to do is survive this house, this virtual reality.
Yeah, it's like it's meant to be kind of this. It's meant to be like horror. So it's this person wants to make the world's scariest video game ever by making things appear that aren't actually there. So they have this little thing that they put into your mind, and it makes you feel like things are happening. So it's like, just completely messes with your head pretty much. And yeah, it's an interesting episode, and it's the first time that they've had one, I'm pretty sure, that where they're doing a test on new technology as opposed to having already advanced and perfected it. So it's interesting to watch things where they're just trying things out.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it. And it scared the shit out of me. I don't know about.
It was funny at times as well. He was hilarious at times, but it was dead fucking serious. And
I was terrified.
Yeah, they actually spent some money on CGI on this one in terms of, you know, kind of horror type things, you know, species and stuff turning up in where he was in the house and stuff like that. And basically, Wyatt himself, he was so funny at times, and then he went dead serious. And by the end of it, it's fucking maniacal. So he got to show so many different sides of himself in this show, you know. And that's what I liked as well. I thought he played it really well, but the story itself, a little bit weak. Didn't think it was the best.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't
the best of what we've had before. Little computer game thing weak, and then in the end, he's pretty much only done like 1 second of a test. And we've seen the whole episode, and he's
0.04 seconds or something.
And he's
stupid,
died
in
like milliseconds. He actually dies.
Yeah,
in milliseconds.
He goes to answer his phone or something, or he's
answered
the
it.
Person, yeah. And the he phone... basically interferes with his phone, and that does that, and it's that then interferes with the video game, and it makes it malfunction, and he dies.
Yeah,
I mean
there's a big story arc in there with his mother and all that, you know.
Yeah,
and how what happens and how, you know, he's basically in the end the killer is that when he dies, it's because his phone interferes with the device, the radio waves or what the phone waves, whatever, you know, and it's his mom calling him, who he was trying to, you know, it's just mad, isn't it? It's just mad how it works out that she ends up killing him.
Yeah, it was like basically the entire thing was him. He kind of didn't want to speak to her, and she's trying to ring him. And obviously, I think they had a big fight or something happened. He ran away from home. But anyway, yeah, so by her trying to ring him, he ends up being dead. I don't know. It was a strange ending. I thought it was twisty, but I liked it, but it wasn't my definitely wasn't my favorite one anyway.
Yeah.
The acting, like in all of them, it's just fantastic, isn't it? How
it's great.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Great. The lady who's like, you know, getting him settled in and stuff is hilarious as well. She's really good. So anyway, the next episode is, again, this is one of my favorites. Episode 3, Shut Up and Dance, directed by James Watkins, written by Brooker again and William Bridges, starring Alex Lawther, Jerome Flynn, Bronn from Game of Thrones, people.
Big shout out.
From Game of Thrones, yes, brilliant. He is brilliant. And pretty much these two run the entire episode. And I love this one. So it all starts with the kid, who's Alex Lawther, who's basically just, you know, biding his time in a dead-end job, you know, cleaning and stuff, and he's picked on and everything. And basically he goes home and his sister's always borrowing his laptop, and he's pissed off with her. He locks his own door up so she can't get to his laptop. Anyway, so one day he comes home, he switches his laptop on, and he's got to clear his laptop up because she's fucked it up with malware. So he basically goes and downloads a stupid bit of software, which you should never do, to clear malware is get more malware. And he ends up cleaning. He thinks he's cleaned his laptop, but what happens is, basically, he's inadvertently given some hackers access to his webcam. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he's then basically goes on to a porn site and starts beating himself off, having a wank. And as soon as he's done his deed, he's very happy with himself. And all of a sudden, he gets a message, an email, and he checks it. We just saw what you did. And he's like, what? And then basically, from there, he is blackmailed. And they basically blackmailed him and said, if you don't do what we say, we are going to send what you just did. We recorded you. They show him a video of himself, what he's doing, and they are going to forward it to all of his contacts and tell his mother. So this young lad obviously is shitting himself, and he complies. So he ends up going to work, but they ring him or they text him, right? And they say, go and meet this person at this place and, you know, pick up what you need. And so he ends up traveling up on his bike.
Yeah, I think he has to bring them a box with a cake.
No, he's got no cake yet. He just has to get there first. The cake comes, this guy meets him there, gives him the cake, geez, right?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes there. Yeah, he goes on his bike and the guy gives him the cake. And now he's like, how the hell do I get this cake on a bike to where I need to go? So he walks, doesn't he? He gets off his bike and just walks pretty much with the bike. And he has to go to a hotel. And in the hotel is Jerome Flynn, who is Bron. So he goes in and he gives the cake to him and basically knocks on the door. And the guy goes, what do you want? And he goes, I'm not opening the door. I don't need the cake. Who is this? And basically he just goes, the cake's from Mindy. Yeah. And he goes, oh, yeah. Mindy. And then he lets him in. And it's just all dead awkwardness now. Both of them dead awkward. He goes, what? I don't get what you're doing. What's going on? And then obviously he gets the message. Bron, that is. I forget what his name is in the show, by the way.
Hector.
He gets the message that he must take the kid with the cake and go and deliver it. No. They've just got to go and do something, haven't they?
Yeah. So basically, just told to go to this
car,
to a car park.
Yeah.
And they have to use a car. They're told which car to take.
And at the start of the episode, by the way, in this car, someone's actually putting the keys of this car, for this car under the wheel, on top of the wheel, on top of the tire, you know?
Yeah.
The wheel arch. So you see that at the start. So that all clicks in together. And so they get in the car and they wait instructions and basically they get to where they need to get to, which is a bank, and they say, open the cake. So basically, before they get there, though, they get stopped at the petrol station by this woman, and they're fucking just driving like maniacs to try and get to the spot, and the hackers are like, if you don't get there in 10 minutes, we're going to tell everyone everything. And while they're driving, they basically get to the bank in the end. They get rid of this woman who's shitting herself in the back because they're driving like maniacs. And it's dead funny. And it's dead awkward because he doesn't want to tell who he is, you know, the kid. And the other guy doesn't want to get anything, you know, doesn't want her to touch the cake, you know, because it's got a name on it. Mindy, but it's not his wife's. And this woman is his wife's mate. So in the end, they get to outside this bank and the hackers say, open the cake. Opens the cake and they go and find something. There's a gun in there, isn't there? There's a gun in there.
Gun, a hat, and a pair of shades.
Sunglasses. That's right.
And yeah, and so they're told then, want you to rob a bank.
Yeah, so one of you is a robber.
Yeah.
And one of you.
Well, one of you is the driver. Yeah.
So the kid can't drive.
Hector. And then I think, isn't it then, Hector basically tells the kid, look, you have to do it. I can't, you know, he's better. He basically finds a way to convince him to go and
rob the bank. Basically scares the shit out of the kid.
Yeah.
That he's going to get in trouble and his mom's going to see that he's been, you know, basically he goes, what did you do? And he goes, oh, just watch some porn. And he goes, so you're just getting done for watching some porn. That's a, you know, that's nothing bad. Just do it. It's no way, you know, but yeah. And then in the end he goes, but then he totally ends up contradicting himself once it happened, once they get the instruction. He goes, if your mom sees that, she's going to be so disgusted if you think about it, this and that and the other. And then he basically drives him insane, right? And then he goes, why can't, and he goes, you must do it. If my wife finds out that I've been with a prostitute, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. She's going to leave me. My kids will leave me. You know, so Bron's giving his, Hector's giving his, so I keep, he's Bron for me. Okay. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
So he gives his, story that I, you know, so the kid's been, you know, masturbating to, porn, usual porn, and the guy's been, with a prostitute, but both been videoed. So they're both like, you got to do it. You got to do it. And in the end, he pressures him so much. He screams his head off. He's bawling. He's crying, right? And he puts the cap on. He takes the gun. He goes into the bank. He robs the bank. Whilst he's robbing the bank, he's pissed himself. Literally, he's pissed the pool of piss in the bank. And the woman behind the cashier is like, what the fuck's going on? He's robbing me, but he's pissing himself. So she puts loads of money in a bag. Cash, and he goes, and they get in the car, and they go to the point where they need to go. So he basically gets out, and they say he needs to walk to this middle of this forest, and Hector needs to drive back home. So he goes into this forest, and there's another guy there, and he goes, "Did you bring the money?" And he goes, "Yeah, I brought the money." He thought he was just doing a handover, but no. Then basically they what do they call it? The thing that they flew in the air.
A drone.
They've basically got a drone in the air, which has got cameras. And they go, by the way, we're fighting to the death. And he goes, you what? And he goes, yeah, we're fighting to the death now. Whoever wins takes the money. And he goes, okay. And he goes, I ain't fighting. He goes, you're going to have to fight. And basically at this point, the other guy goes, look, I'm destroyed. Yeah, they've caught me with kids.
Kiddie porn, yeah.
Yeah, with kiddie porn. You know, surely that's what they've caught you with as well. And at this point, the kid's face is just blank, right? He does nothing. And the next thing you see is just the kid basically, obviously he's won somehow. Yeah, because he's got the gun, hasn't he? And
yeah, he tries to shoot him and then he...
They have a fight.
Then he starts, and then he thinks about it and he tries to take his own life and there's no ammo in it.
Yeah.
And then they fight. And the kid
has won because they don't show the fight. They don't show the fight too much, but what they show is he's got mud all over him and he's all fucked up. And basically what they show is that he's walking away and then all of a sudden the police has appeared behind him. Basically if all of them carried everything out, it would have been fine. So the first thing you see is the woman who put the keys under the wheel arch. She gets a message of the guy smile. What's it called?
It's the little troll face.
Yeah, troll emoji. Face smile emoji. So she gets that. And then all of a sudden you see on the screen that it says she's a teacher and that she's groped or she's done something with one of the kids, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? And then it goes to Bron, who's Hector, and he walks into his house and opens the door and his wife's sitting there and she looks at him with absolute disgust and anger and tears and says, Mindy? And immediately you know he's been doing something with a kid, you know? Because it wasn't an anger, it wasn't a prostitute anger, it was a disgust look on this wife's face. Disgust, like, not anger as in you cheated on me, disgust, you know? And then you see the kid walking and his mom calling him and he picks the phone up and she says, what have you done? Why have you been looking at children or doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And you automatically realize that the whole episode, you're feeling sorry for these people, that they're getting treated like shit by these hackers for doing what no people do, these things, right? To porn and with hookers or whatever. And And you think, you know, this is a bit excessive. Why are you making doom? But then all of a sudden the twist is that they're being punished for doing something despicable. And you in the end feel like, yeah, good. It's weird, isn't it?
I know.
It's weird that how it just automatically changes your feelings on the episode. I mean, what did you feel when you watched this?
Because the first thing I thought back to was when the kid in like the first 5 or 10 minutes, he's at work and you see him interacting with this, like, with this 8-year-old, and he kind of comes over to him and helps him out, and you're like, oh, that's really nice. And then when you watch what happened at the end, you're just like, oh, god damn it, that's so twisted. You're just like, you know, he was just being nice to him because he's, you know, that for a completely fucked up reason. And I just felt like, not ill, but I was like, oh, this is just horrible. I couldn't, it was a really good twist and it was just so hard to take. But I mean, it's a thing that's turned up in a few of episodes about, you know, basically punishing people who've done bad things. But
yeah, very similar to White
Bear. Feels like, yeah, but I think I felt like they actually had kind of earned that punishment in a way, which
and
is,
that's why
you
I
know
like
what
this,
I mean?
This episode is one of my favorites because of the punishment to what they did, but also how they made you feel sorry for these characters, and then they totally do a U-turn. And as they do the U-turn, you yourself do the U-turn and are now happy with what's happened, but you're also disgusted with what they've done, but you're happy with the fate of those characters.
Yeah.
but you're disgusted. It's such a weird feeling. But I have to say, guys, the acting in this episode again from both of these guys is fantastic. You know, the child actor and, you know, Alex Lawther and Jerome Flynn, both magnificent. It's a must-watch episode. It's my second favorite
one.
This is one
of the best episodes,
And just because of how it plays with your head, and you should have already watched it because we're spoiling it for you, so you shouldn't really be watching it. So hopefully you watched it and you feel the same. But by the way, if you disagree with this, or if you think we've missed anything in terms of reviewing it or what we should have felt, what you felt, tweet us on at gagstanding, at on the box, or at hefty horse here for some reason. One day find out why. But anything else you want to add on that brilliant episode?
No, I think that's pretty much
okay,
it.
Okay, the next two we're going to try and go through as quick as we can. Episode 4 is San Junipero, directed by Owen Harris and written by Brooke again, starring Gugu Mbatha-Raw and Mackenzie Davis. Not one of my favourite episodes, really, this one, about I don't even know. It's just
this is a weird episode, isn't it? This is just a strange episode.
Like, we should just like let the people watch this one. You know what? The funniest thing is, I went and tried to look at ratings online. This episode has been rated the best by so many people.
It's
so
weird,
you know. This is why I'm saying some people will love this. It's like artwork. Some people will say it's like artwork, but for me, I just couldn't connect to it.
I liked it a lot. I mean, I thought it looked absolutely amazing, and the thing I liked about it was it just looked brilliant. The music was fantastic. I thought really good. Actually, that's something that we've not talked much about. I think every episode the music is brilliant in it. And this one, the music was done by I can't remember. He's quite a well-known person, but I just felt this was a really weird episode, and it's not really, feels like, even though they're not linked, everything has the same themes are there in them all in certain ways. This one feels like it's completely apart from everything else, and it's also mainly based in the 80s as well, which is, you know, so it's just a weird episode. I liked it, but it's weird. No, it was very strange. Will we talk through what happens in it a little bit?
If you want to.
I think
it's hard to explain because it's kind of like basically that you're on your deathbed and you can pass into a virtual reality kind of thing, and we don't know it's virtual reality at this point. We just think it's two girls in this town that they've come to on a break type thing. And there's one girl who's really confident, and one girl who's a bit backwards and, you know, not as modern. And they both hit it off, and then one keeps disappearing for some reason. Even though there's, and they only appear every week, and then years go by, and they both still look the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's just dead weird, and you're like, what the fuck is going on, man? And in the end, you realize, I'm really doing this fast, by the way, because there's loads of bits that go in the middle, that they are basically on their deathbeds, and they are allowed by their hospice, where they are, or their care homes, to pass into this place once a week for a few hours. And they're basically meeting each other there, but in their best form, shall we say. So they're really old, but what they think is their best time, you know, of how they looked in their lives. And
yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the end, you're basically allowed to pass over. So when you die, if you do want to die and you die, you're allowed to permanently go and live in this virtual reality. And it's about how they both want to end up getting there, but with a couple of twists and turns of what's going on. But
it ends like with them being like it's a pretty happy ending.
It's the only show with the happy ending. I think that's why a lot of people rated it the highest, because it got a happy ending. But fuck me, man, who wants to see a happy ending nowadays?
Like, this is Black Mirror. Come on,
this is motherfucking endings. Black motherfucker mirror. You know, this is like it needs to fucking shoot you in the foot or something, or in the heart, you know, if they're supposed to hurt you. But yeah, there's a lot more to this one. There's a lot more to it than what we said, by the way. We're just trying to go through it because we're running out of time.
Yeah. And, I did really like it a lot, but there's not that much to really talk through it. Like there are, like it's more of just one that looks nice. It's acted well, nice music. The plot's not bad. Like, I mean, it's a very good plot, but there's not a lot of things to really talk through, and it hasn't got that same type of that kind of effect on you.
No, you don't feel like the rest of them do. But it's affected me.
I can definitely see why it's the most liked one, but I don't think it wouldn't be the one that I'd pick for people to watch first, because it's not like any of the rest of them. And if you know, so it's definitely worth the watch, but it's not my number one pick.
No. And then, okay, sure. But something similar, I think, again, one that wasn't one of my favorites, episode 5, Men Against the Fire, directed by Jacob Verbruggen, who has directed House of Cards episodes, by the way, people, and is written by Brooker. And basically, this one actually has Stamper from House of Cards, Michael Kelly. So you can see that the guy who directs House of Cards decided to pull in someone who to play a bit of a villain role. Stamper from House of Cards, who's magnificent, by the way. So that was nice, because when I saw his face, I was like, oh my God, Stamper! So pretty much something like, you know, when I saw Bronn from, oh my God, Game of Thrones! So I was like, oh my God, House of Cards! So yeah, I liked it that they were using people that were fantastic. Again, this one, let's do this quickly. If you want, go for it. If you want to talk about this one,
this one is. It kind of feels like you're playing a first person shooter. That's the way it's filmed. Most of it is kind of like filmed through the kind of eyes of a person, and it's based around war and this army there, and who are out to hunt these things called roaches, they're described as kind of people who've infected some sort of like some sort of illness that's made them aggro, and they basically just all have to be wiped out. So the army heads around and basically tries to wipe them all out. And then what's the name of the main guy? I don't really remember too well. Again, I wasn't crazy about this one. Do you remember what happened?
Is it Stripe and Hunter?
Stripe, Hunter, and Medina, yeah.
Something like
They're
that.
They basically just go off on this mission to hunt down one of the kind of head... One of the head... No, they go down to hunt the
roaches
person. Yeah, and they find out that there's this person who's been basically harboring them, and they go and investigate, and they find a nest of them down in the basement.
But then one of them just puts some kind of gadget on
Hunter.
On Hunter, and basically that's it. On Stripe. Isn't it?
Stripe, sorry, yeah.
I think it's Stripe, yeah. I think and Stripe. And then basically they end up
the roaches then look like real people to him.
Yeah, to him.
And he's,
he's
trying to
hell?
Explain this to people. He's like, oh, they're actually real people, and he's trying to explain this, and everyone's like, no, it's just it's a trick. And and then you find out that the device, what is it again? Sorry, this one is a little bit, this is the one that I don't remember the most
at all. Me neither.
We're doing a really bad job.
You can tell we didn't like this one, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I liked the way it was filmed, but yeah, it was probably one of my
least favorite ones. Implant.
Yeah.
It was called the mass, wasn't it? Mass implant into the head. That was the, and then there was an LED device, and that's what they called it. That's all they called it. An LED device.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, wasn't it? Yeah.
So basically, Mass, which was a company, and they have a system, they were basically making all these guys think that the human beings were actually, you know, kind of animalistic, you know, people to kill them, to make it easier for them to wipe the race out. And that was what they were doing. So it was weird. It was a weird
and
one.
And then they played him. They basically then let him look at the world the way it really is, and made him feel so bad about it. So they made him watch back him basically killing people.
And he wanted to stop. And he agreed.
Went to him. We'll wipe your memory if you did, you know. And he's like, okay. So, and then he's back to how he was, and he starts euthanizing people or however they.
But they didn't they put him to sleep and say, "Here, have some sex." Like, it was just dead fucking funny. Like, what the hell? He has to go to sleep to have sex. What's going on? This is dead weird. But yeah, so that was pretty much that episode, and it pretty much leads on to the last one, which is Hated in the Nation, isn't it?
Yep, Hated in the Nation.
Which is episode 6, Hated in the Nation, directed by James Halsey, who's also directed, by the way, Doctor Who, Mad Dogs, Penny Dreadful, again written by Charlie Brooker. It's just got new faces in it, so it's Kelly MacDonald and Faye Marseille, but Benedict Wong. It's fucking Wong from Doctor Strange. Oh, fucking hell yeah. And he's got a fucking English accent, man. It's like, what the fuck just happened? Wong has an English accent? What? But this is feature length, people. This is 90 minutes, okay? And I really, really enjoyed this one. I don't know if you did.
I love this one, yeah. This is brilliant.
Go on, then.
So, this one begins, God, I'm so bad at remembering the very start.
So this one begins
with them online on Twitter, and there's all this
hate crime.
Let's do it as fast as possible
because otherwise we're going to be here forever. Yeah. So I'll help you out here. So you can just fill in some gaps for me. So what I remember of this one is there's loads of hate crime going on. If someone's done something bad in public, for example, a writer had slated somebody who was popular who died.
Yeah.
And she said that it was, this person committed suicide or whatever. I think it was a suicide.
They slagged someone in a wheelchair as well. And
yeah,
she basically had different people who did bad things and people
really, really
online.
Bad views.
Yeah.
And someone online said death to this writer's name. And basically the next thing that happens is there's just a whole – you see this writer sitting in a house just getting shitloads of hate, Twitter hate. It's pretty much like Twitter. They don't say it's Twitter, but it's pretty much like Twitter hate, right? Going bing, 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 bing with the hashtag death too. And all of a sudden she's dead on the floor. And you've got a Scottish detective and she's fucking hilarious. She's really good. She's really nice actually. You like her, but she's like – just, I don't know, she just, She's very Scottish. She's just negative about everything, you know?
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah, don't believe that.
Glum and very.
Yeah. And then you've got her. She's got a new partner who's just technology, you know, she just loves technology. She's just everything about. And she just cheats, says, oh, that's this. And basically, they're both at each other's throats. Yeah. Or not throats, but trying
they're
to
do one
just up.
Opposites. Like,
yeah.
One you can tell is very like she's been there a long time. It's like, oh, it's probably him. He probably did it. That's normal. And then the young girl's like real kind of eager and thinks that she knows best, but she has a lot to learn still.
Exactly. So basically what happens is they're investigating these, this murder. And, all of a sudden there's somebody else who's now going to get hate crime because he's gone mad on a TV show where one of his fans turns up and tries to rap or sing, and he just absolutely slates this kid. This popular singer just rips into this kid, and he ends up getting the same treatment in terms of social media hate.
It's the same hashtag then, yeah. So
and then he dies too. He dies too. So Wong, detective or whatever his name is, I think he's special agent, I don't know, does the work on that one. So in the end, all three of them get together and they say, we've got two instances now of this. And all this time, the story in the side is that there's these bees, electronic bees that have been produced that are basically, because we're in this dystopian world where bees are now extinct or almost extinct. So they've had to develop these bees to ensure the pollen stuff and the environment is still, you know, everything still works in the world. Because obviously, it environmentally be dangerous if all the bees fucking died, right? So.
Yep. So ADIs is what they're called.
Yeah,
in the show.
That's right. So, as it turns out, these bees have been hacked as well, and they're basically doing the murdering. Someone is reprogramming these bees to kill these people, and you just go through the whole episode then of this chase between, you know, they're trying to save somebody else who the next person is on the list to die. They try and save her. They can't because these bees are attacking them. They're chasing them everywhere. And in the end, long story short, it becomes a massive terrorist attack as to that. And they realize that every single person that used that Death 2 tag was in the end a target. And they actually make the mistake of pretty much kicking off that terrorist attack themselves, don't they?
Wong presses, yeah. They're in a lab with the man who basically looks after the bees, and he's the bees are meant to be like unhackable, basically. And this man is meant to be the best person to be anti kind of hack. And they're all there in the lab, and he thinks he's found a way to put them all back online. And then they're like, maybe this is probably a trap.
Turn him off.
Oh, to turn them off, sorry. Yeah. And they're thinking, this might be a trap. And Wong just goes, fuck this, and just presses the button without, you know, thinking that that's the best thing. And then it was a trap.
And then basically,
they just attack all the people with the Death 2 who've posted with the Death 2 hashtag.
And in the end, over 300,000 people are murdered by these bees. So the last few scenes of the episode, and this is quite tragic because you're like, what the fuck is this? They've just gone from a full-length terrorist attack at the end of a 90-minute show, and you've led to that moment where 300,000 people die, the world's greatest, hugest terrorist, you know, biggest terrorist act ever in the history. So basically what happens is she's in court, the main detective, the Scottish one, and they're just getting her statement. She's telling the story, and, you know, they're really feeling bad. Everyone's feeling really guilty. And she says that, you know, her partner, all they found of her partner was that when they were looking at all the bodies in, you know, in the halls and the school halls and stuff, you know, where they were going in gymnasiums, all they saw were bodies, and it affected her so much that she went to the beach and they saw her stuff there and they didn't ever find her body. So they all assumed that she committed suicide and killed herself in the sea, you know? And basically, in the end, the Scottish detective is in a car riding away and she gets a text from her supposed to be committed suicide dead partner, who has actually tracked down the guy who was the hacker that programmed all these bees to kill everybody. And she's undercover on the sly in this foreign country, wherever they are. And she just texts her, "Got him." Because basically she's going to arrest him, or she's going to kill him. Either way, the guy's done. And we fade to black. Which is like, what? No, show us. How did you get him? What did he do? But yeah, again, did I summarize that okay?
Yeah, that's everything. There's obviously a lot.
Loads of stuff more, that goes on in between. And,
but yeah,
that you can.
I mean,
pick
it's
up
just
on.
Quite strange to when you're watching that bit where they're being chased by bees. It's just, it's kind of like pretty funny as well.
It is, but it's a scary. It's like a horror. It's like a horror movie.
Bees.
Yeah. There's a film in there, Killer Bees or something like that. It just becomes like a scene out of that, you know, like the old film that you've seen, the Killer Bees one.
It's yeah,
one
of them. Yeah.
But yeah, again, really well acted, directed, really good episode. You could tell, you know, it was done well. And I thought the production quality was really high on it, you know, with the cars. You see the car doors opening and stuff like that, and how Wong's car was so amazing.
Oh yeah,
it was just
amazing,
beautiful, like sci-fi
self-driving car,
just yeah. Superb. Yeah, and like how he's pressing on it, and it's like, it was so Doctor Strange. I was like, dude, man, what are you doing? It's not Marvel. This is fucking Black Mirror, bro. What are you doing? Yeah, again, I just thought the use of social media, again, the power of it, being able to use it, and how much information people give because of the locations and IMEI numbers. Obviously, they were talking about how mobile phones have distinct trackers, you know, of GPS signals, and how you can link that to an IMEI number of a phone, and how you can get targeted, and the dangers of so much information out there being able to access everybody or anybody wherever they are in the world. And if that information gets in the wrong hands, people can be targeted individually. Rather yep. than and be done with without destroying anything else in the world in terms of structure. It was a terrorist attack that was direct to the source. They just wanted to kill someone, and they were able to do it without blowing things up. You know, how else would you kill 300,000 people? You would try and concentrate it, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
concentrate.
That's
see,
horrifying.
But, exactly. But this terrorist attack was able to individually just sort out with these killer bees, just straight into up through the nose or in the mouth or in the ear, straight in the brain, dead. You know? Bang. Immediate. Little bit of suffering for 2 minutes, but bang. And that is fucking scary.
Very scary.
You don't ever want it to get to that level, but yeah, it was pretty much just showing the power of if your data, if your you know, the information's on your phones is used in the wrong way. Maybe everybody should switch off location services. Are you listening, people? I'm trying to scare you now. Switch off location, motherfucker.
I have a bee in your location.
AI. Hey, AI. It's Amfield Index. Bees. AI bees. Not Ds. ADIs. Get rid of the D. But anyway, that was all the episode. So we've pretty much talked 2 hours, 10 minutes on Black Mirror. But we need to finish this off with our rating. So do you want to rate the shows? In terms of what you think, and I'll rate
each episode.
Yeah, no, not rating as in 5 out of 10. Do from your favorite to your worst. Just list them.
Okay. Well, I had as my favorite was White Christmas. Then it was the entire History of You. Then Shut Up and Dance. White Bear, and then. Kind of, to be honest, from there, the next ones then are quite close. There's not really, like, I found it hard then from there to really pick my favorite ones. And then at the very end, I had the Waldo one was the one that I didn't hate it, but that's that's probably the only one that I would never watch back. The rest of them are pretty even for me, I'd say, but they'd be my top five anyway, for sure. Okay. And then it's hard to put the rest of them in it.
Yeah.
A certain order, you know, like it does kind of get a little bit blurry then. Hated in the Nation, I'd probably put quite high as well, actually.
Okay, I can go through mine then. I've actually got them down in numbers. So first, let's go from the bottom instead. 13th, Waldo Moment. 12th, San Junipero. Yes, people, I'm sorry. It was rated first for some, but it lost. I had my head in my phone at one point with it because it just didn't connect with me. Men Against Fire, that's not anything bad against it. It wasn't one I connected with again, but wasn't rubbish, but just wasn't as good as the others. 15 Million Merits, 10th. Again, I love this one. Just shows you how many good ones there were, you know? And so from 10 to 7, I'd say they're very tight. 9, National Anthem, The Pilot. Again, thought it was great. I love Rory Kinnear, so this is no slight on it. Playtester, 8. I know I didn't speak about it too much in the show, but I'm a computer guy, you know, I'm a gaming guy. And it was a simple one, but it was still fun to see what the shit can go down or would be able to go down with virtual reality bollocks. And yes, I'm using my PS, whatever it's called. But as long as it doesn't plug into the back of my head, I'll be all right. Number 7, Be Right Back. We spoke about that in depth. Number 6, Hated in the Nation. Number 5, White Bear. Number 4, Entire History of You. Number 3, Nosedive. Number 2, Shut Up and Dance. And number 1, White Christmas. So pretty close to you, really. Just swapped around the top 5, I think, and in a different way. It wasn't much difference, but... Okay, that was long, dude.
Yeah.
That was long, but if you've enjoyed it, please do let us know if you enjoyed the 2-part series on Black Mirror. There was 13 episodes to cover, lots to talk about in them. We wanted to cut across the good stories. If you haven't seen it and you're probably going to go watch it now in the spoiled version, doesn't matter. You know, you can go and have a watch. They're still really, really good. And we probably didn't do them justice, you know, anyway, in terms of when you watch it, it's totally different in terms of talking about. We wouldn't be able to get across the level of detail that some of these are in. Thank you very much, Simon, for that and for your time in covering that show.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. We're working back very, very soon. Magnificent. So what's coming up on the Box? Oh, my God. I have so many shows to cover. I just need to find people to do them. I want to do Sneaky Pete very soon. I want to do Goliath. You know, that would be an interesting one to do. I want to do Power. I think I'm looking for the guest for that next. And there's a series of unfortunate events that I like that I want to talk about. I think I'm going to be doing that with Harinder Bhaji very soon. So there's so many shows coming or need to be covered on the Box. They will all be done. And please, please, please keep listening to all the other shows. The Movie Night is out for The Untouchables with them. And also the AI Comic Pod's out as well. There'll be plenty more shows coming. Have a read of some of the articles on the AI channel too, especially the comic ones that Joey Connors does. Go and check those out. You'll enjoy them. And keep on listening to stuff like AI Audible, the new stuff that we're bringing out. AI TV from Nina will be back as well this weekend, I hope, or early next week. So loads and loads of stuff to come. Go and check it out. I thank you once again. This is the 6th year of Anfield Index. The fact that we can do things like this, talk about TV shows, something that we're really passionate about, is amazing, and really, really thankful that there's so many of you listening as well. Appreciate your time, and here's to the next 6 years. Thank you very much. See you next time on The Box.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.